prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. It's Monday, the beginning of a new week. We've got some good shows for you lined up this week, so you're going to want to tune in live whenever possible. Before we get started on today's show, I want to mention a sponsor of the show, Primordial Performance, is running their annual summer sale. Everything is up to 40% off. This is a time where a lot of people go and stock up on everything that Primordial Performance has available because you could buy a whole year's supply at a fraction of the cost. Check them out. Go to primordialperformance.com and take a look at the items. We did the show on one of their products one time, the D-aspartic acid. You can get it for $20 a bottle right now. So check them out. Go to primordialperformance.com. All this week, their summer sale, everything up to 40% off. You know, there's a lot of confusion out there about what's the right thing to eat. I love when I hear people say, but I eat healthy. By whose standards? My guest today is a health writer turned comedian turned actor director of a film called Fatheads. And in this film, which originally appeared to look like to be the answer to Supersize It, or Supersize Me, I apologize, but actually reveals a lot of very, very important truths about what's wrong with our nutritional style in the United States today. Welcome to the show, Tom Naughton. How you doing?
I'm good, Carl. How are you?
Very good, very good. You know, first of all, before we talk about the movie, what even made you want to do this movie?
Well, I actually wanted to produce a sample pilot for a TV show idea I hoped to pitch. Would have been called In Defense of Common Sense, Average But Funny Guy Looks at Issues of the Day. And I actually wanted to do a show on how we treat fat people in American society. Because I think the way we treat fat people is ridiculous. It's one of the few groups it's still politically correct to hate. And I started doing research on that topic. As part of it, I finally watched Supersize Me, which I'd never seen before. And by the time I was done watching it, I thought, this thing is so full of it, I'm going to change focus. I want to do a response to this film. So I did.
Okay. And you actually reached out to what's his name? Spurlock. What was his first name? The guy who did Supersize Me.
Morgan.
Morgan Spurlock. Right. You reached out,
tried to get
his diary.
Yeah,
you tried to get his diary and stuff like that because there was some inconsistencies in the things that he was saying in the movie and what you figured out to be actualities. Correct.
Yes, and you know, in addition to having been a writer and stand-up comedian and filmmaker, I've also spent many years as a computer programmer. So you don't want to throw bad math at me and expect me to buy it. And his math does not add up. His nutritionist told him twice during the course of that movie that he was consuming more than 5,000 calories per day, which he clearly was to have gained that much weight. And yet if you go through his rules, well, I'll eat three meals a day. I'll only supersize if they ask me. I went to McDonald's website, started looking up calorie counts and everything, and quickly realized there's no way that you could follow those rules and still consume more than 5,000 calories per day. So he clearly overate and overate way beyond what his rules would have allowed so he could get impressively fat.
Well, the thing that I was really disappointed in was since the movie was called Supersize Me, and you pointed out that he only actually supersized like 9 out of 60 meals, right?
Correct. 9 out of 90 if you include breakfast. I mean, you don't really supersize breakfast. But yeah, basically twice a week.
Which kind of deflates the whole idea that, you know, that movie was designed to try to make it look like there was something sinister afoot at McDonald's, that they were purposely forcing people to buy larger amounts of food than are healthy. And
yes.
And in reality, he only, you know, if it would have been more impressive if out of 60 or 90 meals, 50 or 60% of them were, you know, requested to be supersized. But that wasn't the case at all, which I kind of think really lets the air out of that whole balloon there. But
Well, and I'm surprised more people, especially film reviewers, you know, didn't just think through this logically. If you supersize 9 times in an entire month, supposedly, and yet you gain 25 pounds, something's wrong.
Yeah, it's not the supersize that's doing the damage.
Exactly. And again, you hit it on the head. There was this sinister feeling that, you know, because McDonald's started supersizing, look how fat we're all getting. Well, first off, honestly, not that many people eat at McDonald's even so much as every day. And the other thing, when they still did have supersized meals, my wife and I used to go to McDonald's, and we would see people get a meal with a supersized order of fries. The other person would order a sandwich, and they'd split the fries. I saw that happen all the time.
You know, I think it's really convenient and it's popular to hate a company like McDonald's.
Yes.
The truth of the matter is that, they've continued to do what they've always done best, and that is to deliver inexpensive meals. And granted, it's not health food, as you pointed out earlier when we were talking on the phone. You know, no one says it is, and it's probably a last alternative for a lot of people. But I don't think that there's anything inherently sinister about what McDonald's is doing. And that leads me to the next, you know, issue at hand, and that is it's the people that are consuming large quantities of these foods without regard to their health or their weight that really own the burden of this whole situation.
I definitely in the film tried to point out that, you know, a lot of this is a matter of personal responsibility. The mere fact that McDonald's makes a huge order of fries available doesn't mean anybody has to order them. And again, most people I don't think did, and we saw plenty of people get that big order and then split them. Now, the place where I would draw the line and say there is a certain point at which people are being driven by the chemistry of what we've been told to eat. So since we've been telling people to load up on carbohydrates because they're good for you, we realize now that those do produce biochemical reactions that make people way hungrier than they should be. So it's not personal responsibility if you're eating because you feel like you're starving, even if you're not starving.
But see, I don't blame McDonald's for that, because that's the government food pyramid is designed to develop a very fat, lethargic population.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the American government, I mean, McDonald's is just following what the government is telling people. And that comes to full circle to what I said earlier in the show. I love when people say, but I eat healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, well, quantify that. How do you know you eat healthy? Well, I follow, you know, the food pyramid.
And yeah, exactly. I think the food pyramid has way more to do with the obesity epidemic, with the diabetes epidemic, especially the diabetes epidemic. It has way more to do with it than anything McDonald's did or any of the other fast food companies did. They're basically selling the same meals that they've been selling since I was a child. But when people go home and they load up on the carbohydrates, they load up on the breakfast cereals, of course they're going to be hungry, and of course they're going to overeat, because that's what those foods do to you.
Now, and again, we're going to pick up on more about the content of the movie when we come out of this next break, which is going to occur here in about a minute or so. But I'm just curious, this message that you've stumbled upon and you've carried out in this very, very well done documentary is very similar to the message that I promote here on the show. And literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this country today are shouting this message from rooftops. What I'm curious is your opinion on why you think the government doesn't get this. Why aren't they moving faster and going, you know what, we've got a sick and dying population. It's our responsibility to help them, and to help them we need to revamp what we've told people is healthy to eat.
Are we answering that now or after the
break?
Yeah,
no, answer that now before we go into the break.
I don't want to be paranoid, but I think at least part of it is the fact that we are heavily into the grain business. We subsidize grains. And it happened to be a marriage of convenience for the government to declare that grains are health food. So when that theory was proposed, I don't think they looked at it very carefully. I mean, you know, what a perfect situation. We subsidize grains anyway. Now it turns out a low-fat grain-based diet is supposedly healthy. How perfect is that? And I think there's a real resistance to the idea that these foods that we subsidize and subsidize very heavily are actually bad for us.
You know, when I hear discussions about health care, and I watch the news and I hear discussions about health care, it's evident to me, and it's probably evident to most of my listeners, that health care would not be an issue if mm-hmm. the government would address nutrition first.
I agree completely. I've pointed that out with people. You know, we can debate up one side and down the other about single-payer systems, private systems, employer-based systems. None of this debate would be nearly as acrimonious if we weren't looking at sky-high health care costs. When the bills are going higher and higher and higher, I don't care who pays for it, there's going to be a battle.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick up more. We're talking today with Tom Naughton. He is the actor and director in Fathead, the movie. You've got to pick up a copy. You can get it at Amazon.com. It's really a great movie. You've got to check it out. We'll be right back. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4930. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody, Orbit Nutrition, get an additional 10% off. They're already low, low prices at orbitnutrition.com. When you go to the checkout, use the coupon code SHR10, that's SHR10, and save an additional 10% off at orbitnutrition.com. My guest today is Tom Naughton. We're talking about his movie Fathead. Great movie. Really, really blows the lid off of a lot of the nutritional myths that people are under and continue to get sicker and fatter and keep asking themselves why. So, Tom, when you did this movie, again, the goal was you were going to eat fast food and lose weight, correct?
Correct.
And so what was the basic outcome there?
Well, I ended up losing 12 pounds in, it turned out to be 28 days. I was going to originally do a month, but then I found out my doctor was leaving town, and since, you know, the post-diet checkup had to be part of the film, we did it at 28 days.
I thought it was humorous that your physician said, almost as a stream of consciousness, that he didn't know if he really liked this, that you were actually losing weight yet eating fast food.
I think that was quite possibly the best spontaneous line in the film. He actually said, "I don't like what you're proving here."
Yeah, yeah. Because we, you know, it's almost like religion. It's like it's so hard to admit that, oops, maybe we were wrong about this, or, you know, let go of the emotional inertia that we've invested in a cause, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, he was a very nice guy. I liked that doctor. He was not my normal doctor back then. The doctor that I normally went to was not allowed to appear on film, so I went to this guy instead. But he did preach the standard low-fat advice at our opening session when I told him what I was going to do. Well, if you're going to eat fast food, you better, you know, eat the chicken and stay away from the fat and everything else. And I didn't want to dispute the guy. I already knew what I was going to do. But then when he saw the results, I mean, I thought his expression was priceless.
Yeah, he was disappointed almost. I mean, there was a sense of disappointment.
He was clearly shocked. For those of you who have seen the film, he was clearly shocked when he looked at the results.
Now, could it just to summarize your findings, could it be said that eating fast food, but eating it intelligently, in other words, eating realistic amounts of food, is not a death sentence for people?
Not at all. And again, I want to make it clear to people, and I made it clear to the people at McDonald's when I was begging for permission to shoot in their restaurants, I don't think fast food is health food. Nobody in their right mind would believe it's health food. But an awful lot of what people eat at home is horrible. Just because it's inside a restaurant that has golden arches over it does not automatically make it bad food or make it any worse than most of the garbage that people eat at home.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. I grew up on Captain Crunch, for God's sake.
That's that's good stuff there, Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
Especially with Crunch Berries.
Yeah, and Quisp and all those other things. So the point I was trying to make is that by intentionally selecting fattier foods and keeping my carbohydrate intake down, I did actually lose weight eating fast food. Now, that doesn't mean it's the healthiest way to do it. You know, a grass-fed steak would be better than a double cheeseburger without a bun. But I had set out to prove it's not because it's fast food, it's not because some guy wearing a paper hat is serving it to you that makes it bad. It's the macronutrient content. And
right.
We've got our macronutrient contents completely backwards.
Well, if you look at, you know, a lot of people always want to, well, show me research, show me science, show me this, show me that. But then you just have to look at one thing and kind of a light bulb will go off in your head. As human beings, we have the ability to make glucose from proteins or fats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through ketosis or gluconeogenesis.
That's right.
But we don't have the ability to make protein from carbohydrates, and we don't have the ability to make fats. Well, we can make fats from carbohydrates, unfortunately, through fat storage. But the point being that we could live a completely healthy life just eating fats and proteins, which tells you that genetically we evolved in conditions where carbohydrates may have been either scarce or a very, very small part of our diet.
Well, and that's what really amazed me as I started doing research for the film, to realize that the standard advice is you should be getting 60% of your calories from carbohydrates. Well, if you look in a biochemistry textbook, you will find essential amino acids, proteins. You will find essential fatty acids. Show me the essential carbohydrates. There aren't any.
Yeah.
No. And yet this is what we're supposed to make up the bulk of our diet from. It absolutely makes no sense.
Now, let's talk about some of the myths that you kind of stumbled into. The mm-hmm. first one that I've been talking about for close to 4 years now, which is the cholesterol myth. What did you learn?
Well, I've learned two things. Number one, that eating fat does not necessarily raise your cholesterol. It can in some people, but really, if it does anything in most people, it's going to raise HDL if you're eating natural fats. It might raise your LDL slightly, but if you really look into it, it's probably raising more of the large, fluffy type of LDL, which is not problematic. It's the small, dense LDL that can perforate the walls of your arteries.
Right.
So number one, eating fat does not, it doesn't mean it's going to give you big cholesterol problems. And second, if you really go, you look around the world, you look at the statistics, you compare cholesterol levels with rates of heart disease, the idea that heart disease is driven by high cholesterol absolutely does not add up.
Right, right. I mean, I think it was Dr. Paul Dudley White, and I've invoked this statement so many times on this show that I feel like I should just record it and have it on a quick play button. Dr. Paul Dudley White was the fellow who, one of the key founders of the American Heart Association, and also the guy who brought the EKG machine to the United States. He was also one of the, I think President Eisenhower or President Roosevelt's personal physician. I forget. I'm sorry. I'm not good at that kind of stuff. But anyway, in the 30s, he wrote a couple position papers stating that in all his years in school and residency and private practice through that point in time, he had only encountered one myocardial infarction, one heart attack. But at that point in the 30s where he was starting to talk about this, the rate of heart attack had tripled in this country. And he said, abandon corn oil, abandon sugar, and abandon hydrogenated oils, which at that point in time, you know, Crisco was introduced, I think, in 1909 and 1910 by Procter & Gamble.
Right.
And he said, return to natural animal fats, tallow, lards, raw milks, raw fats, and so on and so forth, and abandon these because this is the root of heart disease. And look at all the lives we lost because the financial agenda took a higher position than the health agenda at that point in time. And it was more important to sell those products than to protect people's health. And everybody just ignored him. And many companies and organizations that were promoting these types of products decried him. They said, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. Look at all the people that we lost because no one paid attention in the name of the almighty dollar.
Absolutely. You think about millions of lives lost from people being told, well, you should be giving up the animal fats. You should be consuming corn oil. And, you know, I mean, we did that in my family. My dad had high cholesterol, actually at, you know, hyperlipidemia levels. And so we gave up the natural fats. We gave up the butter. I grew up eating corn oil margarine,
right.
I mean, which is a chemical horror show.
Right.
My dad still ended up, despite supposedly doing everything right, including taking Lipitor for 20 years, he still ended up with extremely blocked arteries and had to have stents put in. And I take him and multiply him by millions. I mean, there was just no reason that this had to have occurred. And all you have to do is look back, as you pointed out. 1900, Americans were consuming, I believe it's four times as much butter per capita as we do now, three times as much lard. Where was all the heart disease?
Exactly. We don't see, that's the problem. We don't practice nutrition and health history. No one bothers looking back and taking the facts from then and overlaying them today. Part of it is because, and I'm going to be talking about this on another show that we're doing later in the week, but part of it is because as humans, we are arrogant. We believe that we know better than nature.
Mm-hmm.
Look what we're doing to the planet. I mean, that's a whole different issue, but look at all the chemicals we consume on a day-to-day basis in the form of preservatives and food additives and colors and so forth. And can we really believe deep in our brain where logical thought really functions that consuming these agents is really something our body is prepared to do? Of course not.
Exactly. And as far as the arrogance, I think there's a tendency among humans in general, maybe especially scientists, to think, okay, they were ignorant 100 years ago, 500 years ago, whatever, but we're not. And, you know, I see old shows where they're bleeding the patient to try to heal them, and we think, how stupid were those people? Well, you know what? When they look back 100 years from now and see us with our corn oil and our statins and our skim milk, they're going to think we were just as stupid.
I just did a show last week. The benefits of giving blood are more profound for the donor than the recipient. There's indications of almost a 50% reduction in heart disease and cancer when you give blood once every other month.
You think it's probably because of the you're getting the heavy metals out.
Part of it, yeah. I'm reluctant to point at any one thing any longer in life because it never shows up that way. But yes, part of it is getting out the heavy metals. Part of it is actually making the spleen work so that it gets rid of a lot of the sludge that's kind of caught in it, because apparently the spleen also does some filtering of dead cells and so on and so forth. And part of it is because of the hemodynamic changes in the body. And there could be a myriad of other things that we don't even know about yet, that your body has to struggle to make blood, that these other things come in. All we know is that, you know, when you look at the women who premenopausal, postmenopausal, and the indications of heart disease and so on, and the collections of heavy metals in the body, and you look at all these things and you look at all these studies, and there's actual studies that show that people who gave blood just twice a year had a reduced incidence of heart disease as compared to the general population. So when you start looking at all these things, you go to yourself, you know what? They weren't so dumb about bloodletting back then.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, we look back, we think people used to be ignorant, but now we know everything. I think partly because our medical technology really is fabulous in a lot of ways, that we think that translates to a full and deep understanding of the human body, and it doesn't. The fact that we can do heart transplants does not necessarily mean we know what causes heart disease.
Right, right. And that comes full circle to that. In my opinion, it's almost an arrogance that we're smarter than nature. We can actually change the direction of nature because we are so intelligent, and our medical orthodoxy is just so invested, and it's not true. It's not true. We have to refrain from this attitude, because this is where the demise of this country is going down a tube, because of that attitude. Because we do believe we can eat crap and live long, and we believe that answers lie in pharmacology, when they don't. More people die from polypharmacy. They die from the drugs that they're taking than the diseases that the drugs are supposed to be preventing. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Tom Naughton about his movie, Fathead. You can get a copy of it at Amazon.com. You can also go to the website, fathead-movie.com, to learn more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development. A company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com. Today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You can get a free sample of Attack pre-workout supplement. Go to superhumanradio.com at the bottom. Fill in the form, and our friends at Orbit Nutrition will send you a free sample pack of Attack. It's a pre-workout supplement that does not have any caffeine or stimulants in it. So check that out. My guest today is Tom Naughton. We're talking about his movie Fathead, which dispels the myth that you can't lose weight eating fast food. And while he does agree that fast food is not health food, it's also not the demon that people want us to believe. Tom, what do you think the most astounding thing that you learned when you were doing this movie? You came away with the greatest level of shock when you learned it.
Probably the lipid hypothesis is a load of baloney. I think there was a lot that surprised me, but learning that cholesterol really is not the driver of heart disease was a major aha moment for me.
Especially because taking statin drugs has a variety of well-known risks, whether these are side effects or just the effects of the drug over long periods of time that end up really destroying a person's body. I mean, you know, cholesterol, the brain is made of cholesterol.
Right.
And this, well, God, I'm sorry.
No, I actually have a very personal interest in that topic now. Number one, my mother was on statins because her cholesterol was quote-unquote elevated at, I think, about 220, which is actually a very healthy cholesterol level for a woman. And as you've pointed out, many other people have pointed out, if you're over 65, the higher your cholesterol, the longer your average lifespan. I think that's hugely important for people to understand. My mother was getting severe muscle pains mm-hmm. while she was on statins. Well, this was around the time I started seriously looking into the topic of statins and cholesterol for the film, and one of the proud moments of my life, I talked her off of them.
Really?
Yes. Now,
what was the reaction of her doctor?
Her doctor was kind of, well, I guess if you don't want to take them. But, you know, what really annoyed me was her doctor did not link the muscle pain to the statins.
And it's a well-known side effect.
It's a very well-known side effect, or certainly should be. And so she was on a statin, and she was on some kind of anti-pain medication. The woman's taking two completely unnecessary drugs, which, like all drugs, are going to have side effects. They're going to stress your liver. None of this was necessary because there's nothing wrong with a woman having a cholesterol of 220 or anybody having a cholesterol of 220. The other reason I've taken a personal interest is my dad started developing Alzheimer's in his late 60s. He was on Lipitor for 20 years.
Yeah.
Now, I can't prove that the Lipitor caused it, but again, cognitive problems and memory problems are a known side effect of statins.
Yes.
Now, his mother ended up with Alzheimer's, but she was in her mid-80s.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
He started developing it 20 years sooner than she did, and again, I can't prove it, but I think the Lipitor, if it didn't cause it, it hastened the development.
Who was the only thing I missed in the movie was the CSPI guy. What does the CSPI stand for?
Center for Science in the Public Interest.
Ah, okay.
And the only thing wrong with that title is they don't really believe in science, and what they do is not in the public interest. They are basically a radical vegetarian group. They pick and choose science according to whether or not it fits their vegetarian beliefs, and they are major, major promoters of the idea that the government has to step in and coerce us all into eating the way they think we should.
Yeah, the vegetarian diet is. I mean, you just have to look at Paleolithic human beings.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't eat a vegetarian diet. They actually, the cornerstone of their diet, 80 to 90% of their calories were consumed in the form of animal protein and animal fat.
Right.
So, I mean, this whole you know, and that comes back because we, as humans, we like to overlay our emotions and feelings on animals. We think animals look at us and think the same things they think. We think that when we're looking at them, and we feel sorry for animals, and so we don't want to eat them. And I understand that. That's, you know, it's a noble idea, PETA and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just flat out wrong. And trying to enforce that on a population is really asinine.
Well, it is. And, I mean, I respect the, shall we say, the moral vegetarians who say, I don't want to kill to eat.
Right.
I respect that viewpoint, but please don't try to tell me that it's healthy. There are people who can get away with it.
Right.
And I have a lot of vegetarians try to convince me. They email me on my blog and say, look how much healthier vegetarians are than the general population. Well, there's a reason for that. They're a self-selected group. Who becomes vegetarians? Health nuts. And vegetarians, by and large, compared to the general population, consume far less soda, far less sugar. They are less likely to smoke. They're far more likely to exercise. Also, people who try vegetarianism, and I was one of them, and end up feeling lousy, quit.
Right.
Stop being vegetarian. So what you end up with is a self-selected group of people who are interested in health anyway.
Right. Who also are able to tolerate that very narrow eating regimen.
Right. People like me who tried, I tried a vegetarian diet. I ended up fatter and sicker. So guess what? I'm not a vegetarian anymore.
Well, and I have to say, and people will probably slam me for what I'm about to say, but I got to say it anyway. I know several vegetarians, and I can't say that they look healthy to me. Most of them look emaciated and pasty looking. They are definitely, they look weak to me. They don't look strong and thriving and robust at all.
Well, and certainly not long term. I had some vegetarian friends when I lived in California, surprise. And honestly, there was not a one of them that I would trade health status with. We're talking about people who had to have reconstructive surgery in their faces because, you know, the jawbone lost too much mass, people with degenerated spines, people with arthritis. But you can't convince them it's the diet.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, God. You know what? I hear they taste good. So maybe with the rest of us, we can just start eating vegetarian people. What kind of reviews? Well, first of all, I got to tell you, and I got to say this on the air, too, because a lot of people probably have the same initial feeling that I had when I learned about the movie. And that was, I thought you were a shill for McDonald's or for the fast food industry.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a lot of that originally?
Yeah, I did. And it didn't surprise me. I knew that would happen. I still get people accusing, you know, me of doing a film that was funded by McDonald's. And considering that I pretty much mortgaged my house to produce it, you know, I tell them, I wish someone else had financed it.
Yeah.
I think anyone who watches the film knows that's not true. It's clearly not, if you watch it from beginning to end,
right,
any sort of, homage to fast food. It's just pointing out that it's not whether it's fast food or slow food that makes it good for you or not good for you. It's the content.
Right. And with that being said, you why did you do this movie? Was this really something that you thought, I want to leave a mark on the world, I have to deliver something valuable to this human race? So, because obviously you're willing to put your own money behind it. Usually that's a passion.
It did become a passion. Again, once I saw Super Size Me, it so annoyed me. So much of it was clearly overblown or incorrect that I just felt the need to respond. And, you know, when I started out, at least, it was not an expensive endeavor. I borrowed a video camera from my sister-in-law, who was a documentary producer, and started running around and doing some shooting and some writing. It got more expensive as we went because then you get into post-production costs. But by then, I was caught up in it. And since you've seen it, you know part one mostly deals with Super Size Me and what's wrong with it. Part two, where we really get into the diet myths, by the time I started realizing how many myths there are and how harmful they have been to our health, it really did become a labor of love at that point. I really felt like I had to put this out there.
Don't you feel like you could explode sometimes when you realize how our civilization is being sacrificed in the name of big agribusiness and big pharmaceutical companies and everything else? We're not even seen as people anymore. We're consumers. We're just a moving parade of people who push our money to the right and grab the stuff from the left and just, I mean, it's just, it's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it, well, what really breaks my heart is when we'll see if my wife and I go to, you know, some occasion where the our kids are involved and we see what the other parents are feeding their kids. My wife even had a friend of hers, this is when we still lived in California, she was giving her sons jam sandwiches, jam on white bread, and she looked at my wife and said with pride in her voice, we try to really keep them on a low-fat diet.
Yeah, yeah. And then with that, she reached into the cupboard and got each of them their little metformin tablet.
Yeah, they'll get there. Oh, and excuse me, the juice boxes.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
So basically, these kids had sugar on top of white starch washed down with sugar. And I'm not blaming this woman. She thinks she's doing the right thing.
Right, right. That's the problem. And see, and that's my frustration. Because while there probably is not like secret handshakes in back rooms, but I've done enough shows over the years where we've put things together with companies like Syngenta and Bayer, and you know how they manufacture the seeds, and they're involved in the feeding of the animals, and they're also involved in the pharmaceutical side of the animals, and then they're also involved in the pharmaceutical side of the people, and you look at this circle of death that's mm-hmm. actually occurring in this country today and probably abroad as well. And I keep thinking to myself, you can't wait for the government to step up and stop this from happening. People need to vote with their dollars. You need to buy grass-fed beef. You need to abandon all this crap once and for all. Let it sit on the shelves and rot, and then the manufacturers will change what they sell you.
Well, exactly. And I not only agree that there's no use waiting for the government to come along and fix it, I think they're co-conspirators, if you want to put it that way, in the whole thing. I mean, look at how much, again, we subsidize grains. And even if the knowledge exists in Washington that grains are not actually good for us, that this heavily subsidized corn, which has made it cheaper to ship corn to cattle ranches and feed the cows corn than to let them eat the grass that is already growing in the area, even if people figured that out, I mean, do we honestly think the senators and representatives from the farm states are going to let that message get out?
No. No, and that's what comes full circle. That's where my frustration comes from. My frustration comes from the fact that our lives mean very, very little to the people who have the power to affect it. And the government doesn't really give a damn. You know, the FDA approves drugs every day that kill people, but then they block healthy things that, you know, supplement manufacturers, they try to make it difficult for supplement manufacturers, companies like Life Extension Foundation to market, you know, ubiquinol or something. I mean, it's such an atrocity because people are dying. We're not talking about, you know, you didn't get the parking spot you wanted. We're talking about shortening people's lives here unnecessarily. All right, let's take a last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll close the show with Tom Norton. Check out his movie, Fathead. Go to Amazon.com. Go check out his website, fathead-movie.com. We'll be right back.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com. AllAmericanEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. AllAmericanEFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies.
You know, you can actually save 15% off of Change Your Life Now if you've been holding off to get the book. Go to superhumanradio.com, look for the Change Your Life Now banner ad, click it, and save 15% off of the cover price. My guest today is Tom Naughton. He acted and directed in Fathead, the movie. This movie dispels a lot of myths. It's a continuation of a lot of the information that is now starting to get out there. We're hoping that more and more people take these messages and start to apply them. You can get a copy of the movie at Amazon.com. You can learn more about the movie by going to fathead-movie.com. Tom, did this air on TV in the United States at all?
No, unfortunately, it hasn't yet. We're in this kind of weird situation where it's shown in several foreign countries, Israel, New Zealand, Poland, Turkey, France, and a few others. And we've actually developed a fan base in some of these countries, but they're not able to buy the DVD yet. Meanwhile, in the U.S., the DVD is available, but it hasn't shown on TV yet. So I hope we get those a little better coordinated at some point.
How's the DVD moving right now?
Our distributor told us it's the best-selling independent film that's in their catalog.
That's great. That's great. And have you had any reviews? Have you had any big names in media review this at all?
You know, not really. We had some online reviews, quite a few online reviews, and finally got a very nice, very positive review out of the Montreal Gazette. But yeah, I sent copies to major media outlets all over the country, and just didn't seem to generate much interest at the time. I'm hoping that changes. The nice thing, this is not a film where the subject matter is going to be old a year from now.
Right.
So I figure there's still time for people to pay attention and for it to catch on.
I got to tell you, I think the reason is because The Super Size Me movie fits into what the public wants to hear about McDonald's and fast food.
Mm-hmm.
And yours actually is a much more level-headed. Anytime you try to develop something that's based in the truth, you have to be moderate about it. You can't, you know, become a zealot and overdo it. And that's what your movie is. Your movie is probably not as sexy to some of these people because it's really very accurate. And sometimes accuracy is not sexy.
Well, I think it's two things. One, I was a journalism major, and I saw the type of people who become journalists. There is kind of a anti-business mentality among a lot of journalists. So when a movie comes along and says McDonald's is the reason that people are getting fat, it fits with their prejudices.
Right.
When my movie comes along and says, number one, it's to a large degree a matter of personal responsibility, and to the degree that it's not, it's based on bad information from your own government, that does not fit with their natural prejudice. And as you know, you try to tell people that there's nothing wrong with saturated fat and that cholesterol does not cause heart disease, their first reaction is that you're a nut.
Well, because the mantra has been driven into them for so long by what they believe is an authoritative organization, the medical
yes.
orthodoxy. The truth of the matter is saturated fat is not bad for you until you mix into the you put into the mix refined carbohydrates like sweeteners. You were talking before about, you know, what fats become in the bloodstream. Well, when you add, there was a study that Dr. Michael Smith talked about not too long ago when I was doing a show on cholesterol, this new crystallized cholesterol, which is a better indicator of heart attack risk than apoprotein A. So we were talking. He says, well, you know, Carl, he said, there's a good study by so-and-so that shows that saturated fat is not the villain until you add into the mix refined carbohydrates. Then there's a high degree of oxidation, and it changes saturated fats.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, you come back to the culprit, the white bread, the grains, and so on and so forth. Saturated fat was never a problem 200 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. One of the doctors I interviewed for the film told me that the thing is, if you're eating refined carbohydrates, they tell your body to store fat. Well, okay, if you're eating refined carbohydrates and fat at the same time, you're telling your body to store fat and giving it plenty of fat to store. Take the carbohydrates out of the equation, and that doesn't happen.
Right, right. And the extrinsic effect of having glucose in the bloodstream
mm-hmm.
and what it does through advanced glycation
yeah.
of the fats, and that's where yeah. saturated fats become dangerous because of the advanced glycation as a result of it. But I know. Now, did you stumble into the GMO thing at all when you were doing this?
Little bits of it. If I had put every topic that I found interesting in the film, it would have been a mini-series.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to cut as I went. So I looked into that a little bit, but ultimately decided it didn't belong in the film.
Right. The only reason I say that is because, GMO corn, GMO soy, GMO wheat, there is a very large consensus that the proteins that are produced through the genetically modified organism, our body doesn't recognize them properly. They increase inflammatory markers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we talk about heart disease, cholesterol doesn't stick to the wall of the artery unless there's inflammation first.
Right.
And so, you know, that's when you talk about carbohydrates, lectins that are in, you know, legumes and corn and grain and so on, we know that they cause inflammation. And then when you look at the amount of carbohydrates people eat, and carbohydrates we were never designed to eat,
exactly.
Then you see where inflammation is really coming from here.
Yeah, exactly. And I think especially if you start throwing in all the processed vegetable oils on top of it. I mean, when in human history, until the last 100 years, when did humans ever consume soybean oil? How? What, did they squeeze soybeans until they had a cup of oil? It never happened. And these oils absolutely are drivers of inflammation. Now you start adding in the genetically modified grains. I mean, we've created a horror show.
And then you start adding in the corn and grain-fed cows, which have a higher degree of omega-6 to
right.
omega-3, which is a pro-inflammatory fat. If you look at grass-fed cows have the same omega-3 to omega-6 ratio as fish. They have more omega-3 than omega-6.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just a shame what we've done to our food.
So where do you go now? Are you planning on a sequel to this, or you have another movie in mind that you want to come out with as a result of maybe some of the information you didn't cover in the first film?
First off, you know, there's a saying: artistic works are never finished; they're merely abandoned. It's been 3 years since I started this. I mean, if I had it to do over again, I would, you know, change the approach yet again. If this went on to make a nice, healthy profit, I would consider doing another one. And if so, I really think I'd want to do a documentary on bad science, because what really struck me as I was researching this film is how much bad science there is out there.
Yeah.
So much of what passes for science is not scientific. And I think people need to be made aware of that, that scientists are not these guys with white hair and white coats on a relentless search for objective truth, that an awful lot of what passes for science these days is agenda-driven. They have decided the outcome long before they began the experiments, and the end result is not real science.
Well, that's like when you talked about the big fat lies that the, mm-hmm. the doctor, what was the doctor's name that
Ansel
was on?
Keys.
Yeah, and what he basically did was he excluded very relevant information because it didn't fit his agenda, and
yeah.
made the data points fit his agenda. He left out countries that ate a lot of fat and didn't have heart disease. He left out countries that didn't eat fat and had a lot of heart disease.
Yeah, exactly. He cherry picked. 7 countries out of 22, and other people have since pointed out that you could cherry pick a different set of 7 countries, and you could have made the correlation go in exactly the opposite direction.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, and that's why I keep saying over and over again, I know I'm beating this drum too much, but you have to make these decisions yourself. Look to your ancestors for the secrets to nutrition. You can't take anything that comes out of science today. You have to take with a grain of salt. You have to apply it to what you know, and you have to look back. I say practice health and nutrition history. Don't just take it blindly.
Well, the FDA wants to take that grain of salt away from you, but I agree completely. I always tell people, because we all point out, oh, there's so many conflicting studies, and what I tell people now is, first off, try to read the study and see if you think you're looking at an honest study. And believe me, half of them aren't. And the other thing is, look at it in terms of our evolution, human history, and check it with results around the world. If you find consistency, maybe we're onto something. But when people say a high-fat diet causes heart disease, really? Well, then why doesn't that work in France or in Switzerland? Are they right. different from us? I don't
right.
think so.
Right. I know. It's amazing. All right. So where else can people get this movie besides Amazon.com?
It's in certain stores. It's in, depending on the whether or not they have a video department, you can find it in some Borders and some Barnes & Noble. There's another store that's a chain in the South. I can't remember what they're called. But the easiest way is to either go to Amazon or go directly to our website and just click the link. It's right there on the first page, and order it that way.
At fathead-movie.com.
Correct.
And you know what? I suggest that people go out and buy this movie and then invite a bunch of friends over and order some McDonald's and sit there and eat a Big Mac with cheese and watch the movie. Listen, Tom, I want to thank you so much for taking time to come on the show. It's really an honor to have you on.
I appreciate you having me, Carl.
Okay, and we will see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Supreme Radio. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Sandra. Oh, I'm going to forget her name. She's going to smack me. Steingraber, I'm sorry. We're going to be talking about living downstream, the exposure to toxins in the United States. We'll see you then.